I encourage you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be at verse 5 today, just one verse. The title of the message is Money Matters. Now, some of you were here last week and you said, man, I don't even have to pay attention to the sermon from last week because I'm not married and it had to do with a marriage thing, and so I don't have to pay attention at all. But let me tell you, this week, everybody needs to pay attention because everybody has money, right? Well, some of you are like, I'd like to have a little more money. Well, maybe that'll happen. I don't know. But when I say the word money, what does that mean to you? Does that mean that's something that's stored away in the bank somewhere? Does it mean cattle in a field for you? Does that mean that a check that you get each payday, and whether it be once or twice a month or every week, does it mean the green stuff that you carry around in your wallet? Does it mean that plastic card that you swipe or you insert into the thing now and it tells you to get your card back? Hopefully you've not left that anywhere. Does it mean land? Is it something that you realize is fleeting and cannot be taken with you to the grave? I have some money here and I want to give it away today. Is that okay with everyone? Now I will let you know, I hope nobody keyed you into this because you might be sitting in the right chair. You might not be. And I will let you know that this was chosen before both services, so don't think that you, So here we go. Have a seat by your wife, Brian. I'm going to go past you. Yeah. Which chair is it? No, you sit right there. All right, here we go. We're supposed to go to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Did that count right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow. The second chair in. How does that work? There you are, Lucas.
Thank you.
What a deal. Good morning. It's good to see you. Lucas and Veronica. I don't know if you know them. They live in Sioux City, and that's Bruce and Polly's children. Son and daughter-in-law. Laura's another child. Good to have you here. Thanks for driving all the way just to come hear me preach. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The third chair in. Well, there's nobody in the third chair today, so I guess you're the closest one. There you go, Bob. Isn't that good, huh? Don't spend it all in one place. That's a $20 bill. All right, let's see if we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm going to the fourth chair. 1, 2, 3, 4. Courtney, your coat's on it, so I guess you get it. Look at that. $20, huh? And certainly I get to come over to this section over here. Anybody nervous? You're nervous? You don't need to be nervous. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And the third chair in. 1, 2, 3. Deb Hadcock, look at that. You get $20 today. Isn't that wonderful? Obviously, nobody is friends with Pastor Eric and Pastor Bradley, or they would have told you where to sit and you would have been $20 richer. Or maybe Pastor Eric, Pastor Bradley said, hey, can't give you the scoop on that. They were the ones that chose those chairs. $20, that's all right, isn't it? Money helps us buy the necessities. It gives us the abilities to buy enjoyable things. It can also strap us into thinking that we own it. We don't. That money that's in your wallet, you think it's yours, and it's not. It's God's. Everything you own is God's. I think if you understand that concept, then it helps you. This is not a message today condemning money, because money is valuable for us. It's a message that is about letting us know that what we need to do with our money and how it should be correctly handled. But it can be a love of ours. And hear me in this. It applies to all of us, whether you're the youngest or the oldest in the room, because we all have this thing called money coming through our hands. How are you doing biblically with the money God has given to you or entrusted to you? George Barna, a research individual, has come up with this. In 2016, he said, 54% of Americans have given to a church in the last year. Then he said this, 94% of practicing Christians have given to a church. That's a high number, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for those of you who give. I encourage you, if you don't give, you need to be giving. I think it's a biblical concept, and I think there are great rewards that come when you understand that God owns it all, and because he owns it all, we can give back just a portion to him. Here's what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Follow along with me on the screen, or maybe you'd like to follow along in the Bible in front of you in the chair rack underneath. Here's what it says. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Here's the first thing. You can love money. How can we love money? What are some telltale signs that says that we love money? We can tell that we love money if when the pastor gets up and he says, hey, are you giving money? And we start getting nervous because he's going to know about if we give money or not. And he's going to shake our hand on the way out and he's going to look at us in a way and say, then that's a telltale sign that maybe we love money. Another way is when we feel we never have enough. You ever had that feeling? Boy, if we just had a little bit more money. Hear me in this. You have enough money. Hear it again. You have enough money. Now, you may say, well, I don't have enough. But I think until you grab this concept, you won't understand that God's provisions are great for you. They have been, you've been blessed by how much you have. Do you understand the house or the apartment or whatever place you live in and how wonderful that is? Man, if you ever go over across the ocean or you go down south to Latin America, and I've been there a number of times, and some of the places that people live in, we went one time on a mission trip and we built somebody a, it was like 10 foot by 18 foot. That was the home we built. A 10 foot by 18 foot, had one window, had one door, and by the way, it didn't have a restroom in it. If you don't understand, hopefully you will understand by the end of the day, you have enough. Another way that you can tell that maybe you love money is that you try to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths or the Wiggleworths or whoever your neighbors are. This morning, as I was out in the parking lot, somebody had driven in and they'd driven in a white vehicle. Not even sure the kind of vehicle, but it didn't have metal license plates on it. It had paper plates on it. And look like a pretty nice little vehicle. Now, if I'm not content with my vehicles, guess what I'm thinking? How come somebody in this church gets a new vehicle? That's not right. I should be getting a new vehicle because, you know, I'm who I am. Why shouldn't I? It's okay to have a new vehicle. But if you try to keep up with the Joneses, if I try to keep up with whoever and say, I need a new vehicle, then maybe you love money. How can you else tell that you love money? That you are tempted to sin. Well, I don't have a lot of money today, and it's just right here, and this is a big store. They won't mind this little cookie that I take. Cheating on your taxes, you're tempted to sin. Another way is you are characterized by greed. You're always wanting something new. You're always wanting the best thing. Or here's another way that you can tell that you maybe love money. Your life is buried in debt. Paul Tripp says this. It's a rather lengthy quote, but hear it. It is shocking the amount of debt that the individual Christian is in. If you could view the average debt load of the average Christian, you would be amazed. So I figured maybe we'd ask that. No, we're not going to do that today. How much, if the debt load could be removed, how much more flexibility would we have to participate in and give to the larger agenda of God's kingdom? He says this, it's an act of disobedience to put something on a credit card that you could not afford with cash or that you do not have a reasonable plan to pay by cash because you are now taking sovereignty and ownership over your financial well-being. We are spending what we have no reasonable expectation to be able to pay. Why? Because our hearts are discontent and we are hoping that money will purchase us contentment of heart. And we'll never do that because it's not the role of money. So we love money because we think money is a pathway to contentment. And it's just not because money can't buy contentment. It can buy stuff, but it can't buy you contentment. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pangs." Some of us crave money. We just want this money. We're looking for the next way to make money. Oh, I got another idea here. I got another idea. I got another way to make money over here. The love of money, I believe, is a heart problem. A soul problem. But hear me in this. It's not just money. I'm going to talk about money for quite some more time here, but hear me in this. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. If you're married in the room, be content with your spouse. You need to be. Well, you don't I don't. But be content. You can do it. God encourages us to be that way. Be content with your spouse. Be content with your job or not having a job. Be content there. Be content with your house. Be content with your car. Be content with your clothes. And on it goes. Now, I think we need to prepare and we need to plan. You don't need to drive around something that can hardly make it around and you have to get a jump every time you get started. But be content with that. It's okay. It's all right. I think that the greatest part of this is this. When you're not content at your deepest core with the Lord, then you're not content with money. We view it as up here, and we view it as all of our life, but it actually is up here. And down deep, if you're not content here, you're not content with your money here. Well, if I had this money, and we just sang the song, all I have is Christ. If you have Christ deep in your heart, then you can, as the deer panted for the water, be content in what Christ has for us. You may have a friend that's always buying. They're always buying, and you really don't like that friend because they always seem to just have an unlimited flow of money. Like, where do they get their money from? So you find yourself being discontent because your friend just continues to buy. Don't worry about them. Be content with what the Lord has. Do you know the freedom that you can have when you trust in the Lord with your money and trust in Him? Now, let me go to the other side for just a moment. I'm talking about contentment. But sometimes we in the church just get a little too content. And I would say actually more apathetic than anything. And this is how we view it. All right, I made $193.27 this last week. All right, what's 10% of $19? What's 10% of $193.27? Well, if I move the decimal place over, I am at $19.32. Now, what do I do with that 7? Do you think I should round it up and give it to the Lord? I mean, should I really go 1933? I mean, because I really only had 193.27, but maybe I should round it up and maybe I should write my check today for $19.33. You can never outgive God. Let me repeat this. You can never outgive God. And some of us try to do that. Well, I'm going to give my $19.33. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to round it up to $19.50. I bet you the Lord will be appreciative of my 17 cents extra that I'm giving Him. Praise God. And when I walk out of the doors, I bet you Pastor Steve's just probably going to smile at me because he's going to know I gave an extra 17 cents. I'm not going to smile at you because you gave 17 cents. I'm going to smile at you because you came to church. Don't be content with what your giving level is. Because I believe that God can give you more when you give more. I think there's a biblical understanding there. Psalm 62, verse 10. Do not trust in oppression and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Many of you, several of you are older than me. Some of you are right with me. Some of you are younger. Think back to what you first made. And we were content there, huh? Some of you are older than me, but I remember having a job where I got paid $3.35 an hour. That was at Hardee's. I thought I was in tall cotton. $3.35, what a deal. Now, some of you could beat that by many, many, many things, you know. I understand that. But man, was I content then? Sure. Am I content now? Do I make a little more than that now? Sure. Be content with what you have where you're at now. Here's what Andrew Carnegie says. Millionaires seldom smile. a lady after first service said she was out here and she said, I'm looking for people that are smiling. Don't know if we have any millionaires or not. Maybe you're one of those. If you are, smile. Even if you're not, smile. Because God has given to you so much. A.W. Tozer says this, money often comes between men and God. Someone has said that you can take two small 10-cent pieces, just two dimes, and shut out the view of a panoramic landscape. Go to the mountains and hold just these two coins closely in front of your eyes, and the mountains are still there, but you can't see them because the dime is shutting off the vision in each eye. It doesn't take large quantities of money to come between us and God. Just a little, placed in the wrong position, will effectively obscure our view. Isn't it interesting? Number two, you can keep your life free from the love of money. We have an obligation. Some of us have a tendency to love money. Some of us are just drawn to that. We just like money, plain and simple. And when we do, if we're not careful, we don't give back to God. All of your resources are God's. How are you spending it? We can be free from the love of money with being content with what we have. How are we content? By a heart change. What happens when we don't keep our lives free from the love of money? We want the next best thing. We hoard. We struggle with the rest of life because we are not content with what we have. We work long hours to make a little more. If I just make a little more, I can have a little more. We buy that lottery ticket because we think it'll take us to new lands. Oh, yeah. If I buy this, whoo, man. I mentioned this before. When I win the lottery, I'm going to give 10% to the church. If you play the lottery and you win, you better give a good 50% to the church. Here's a thought. Are all of your purchases pleasing to the Lord? Every one of them. Let's say you purchase a magazine. Is it pleasing to the Lord? How about buying an item that puts you into debt? Is that pleasing to the Lord? Whether it be a car, furniture, your vacation, alcohol, nicotine, wine, drugs, sports equipment, that extra shirt. If Jesus was right next to you, would he say, this is a great purchase, do it, go for it. When you spend $50 to $200 or beyond for a restaurant bill, is that pleasing to the Lord? If you were at a video lottery machine and Jesus was sitting right next to you, would he be like, you want the apple, that's the one you want this time because that's the one, is he gonna do that? Or where do you say, why are you doing that? When you buy another pair of shoes, your additional hat, your additional vehicle that you can't drive because you don't have that many people in your family, when you have an additional belt or a carpet, we rationalize, well, we really need this. In the 5th century, there was a man named Irenaeus, and he determined to live a holy life. So he abandoned the conforms of Egyptian society to follow an austere lifestyle, and he went to the desert. I'm not asking you, I'm not saying that you guys need to do this. You don't need to go to the desert. Yet whenever he visited the city of Alexandria, he spent time wandering through its bazaars. Asked why, he explained that his heart rejoiced at the sight of all the things that he didn't need. If you've ever been in that place, praise the Lord for God getting you to that place. Many of us aren't in that place. We think, oh, I could use that. Oh, I could use that. And if you ever get to a place where you say, you know what? I'm so glad I don't need that. We are living in a society that is flooded with goods and gadgets of all kinds. In 1976, the average U.S. Supermarket stocked 9,000 articles. 20 years later, I don't know what it is today, but 20 years later in the 90s, it carried 30,000 articles. When you show up at a supermarket, bam, 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 they get you at the door, they get you in every aisle. Some of these supermarkets and places you can't even get through because they have things in the middle. You know, I'm like, move that out of the way. I'm trying to get down this aisle here, and they want you. You need this. Number three, be content with what you have. Now, there might have been a couple of you in the room. They're like, you know what? I sat in the wrong chair today. How come I didn't sit right there in that chair? I was going to sit in that chair, and yet I didn't sit in that chair. And you find yourself not being content with just $20. Most of us probably aren't like that. It's like, well, if you want to give me $20, I'll take it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. If you have lived a life of greed, being content with what you have doesn't happen overnight. It takes several years, I think, to get into a new habit. You need to repent of that. You need to confess of that. But it doesn't just start by you waiting. The illustration is this. Several of you, like January 1 of 2017, you're like, you know what? I really need to go on a diet. I'm getting a little, you know, and so I need to get rid of some of that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start eating healthy. And so January 1, you're like, I'm eating healthy this year. And here we are, November 12. And when you step on the scale, it moves to the right, which is not to the right. It's to the wrong, actually. But it is to the right because you've gained more than what you were supposed to take off. The same way with money. Track your receipts. Here's a challenge for you. If you're finding yourself dealing with greed, track your receipts all this week. You and your husband, if you're married, you and your wife, if you're married, if you're single, then you get to do it all yourself. With your kids, do it if you want to. This is just a challenge for you if you'd like. Track your receipts and then at the end of the week say, wow, we spent $200 on that? What will that do us for the next week? Now, some of those things are food. You need to eat food. I get that. But there may be some things in there that you need to get rid of. Money can cause conflicts in our marriage. Anybody aware of that? It's fun when two people get together. Sometimes you have a saver and a spender, and then they come together. Oh, why is she spending money on that? Why is he so tight all the time? Or vice versa. Why is she so tight? All I was going to get was a Dr. Pepper at the convenience store. $1.06. It's not that much. A husband is discontent with his boat, so he goes and buys a newer or a new one. A wife is discontent with her house, so she says, let's get a remodel. A husband is discontent with his gun, and so all of a sudden he finds himself in a gun store, and he's just kind of looking to see if there might be a gun for sale. A lady is discontent with her shoes, and so somehow in that department store, the shoe aisle just popped right in front of her, and there was a new pair of shoes. How did that get there? And they were in her size. How did that happen? They just happen to have one in her size. That must be a sign from God. It can be an everyday battle. Advertisements are constantly in front of us. You need this. You must have this. Sign on the dotted line right now. Does anybody know what the Dow Jones closed at the day Donald Trump took office? Anybody know the number? You could Google it real quick and probably find out. 19,827 was where the Dow Jones ended up. Do you know what the closing bell was on Friday? Here's the number. The number was 23,422. That's almost 4,000 points. I've heard that as a 60% gain. I don't know how to figure that out. But if you're doing stocks, you're like, wow, this is a good day. Be content with what you have because I don't know if that's going to crash or not. I can't promise you that. Be content with what you have. I have a picture of the new coming out iPhone 10. Now you need this. Do you know why you need this? It has a super retina screen. I don't even know what that is. It has facial recognition security, which I understand if you have a Samsung, it's already had that. But the iPhone 10 has facial recognition security. Here's something this phone also has. It has wireless charging. Some of you need that. Do you know why? You use your smartphone so much that you need a charger in the car. You need a charger like in the office. You need a charger at home because it's always draining its charge. Wireless charging, is that not incredible? And you know what else comes in the iPhone 10? It is water resistant. Some of you need that. For whatever reason, you thought, I'll throw this in the toilet. This looks like a good place for it to be. I'll throw this in my sink that I have water in. iPhone 10. You could get it. Here's another one. A 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokee Trackhawk. Now, doesn't that look nice? Does anybody see me behind the wheel of that? You do, Bonnie? Buy it for me then. I'd love to have this. Do you know what this thing can do? This thing can go, it has the same engine as a Dodge Challenger. It can go from 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. Now, here's what happens. I wouldn't sit in this vehicle, but I'd give it to my wife. So as we turn on Elkville Road, we don't need a stoplight. She can rip out of here and be at 60 miles an hour in 3.5 seconds. She's good. It has four-wheel drive. It has a spacious cabin. It has comfortable seating front and rear and a sizable cargo. And it has an 8.4-inch Uconnect touchscreen. So instead of being on your phone, you can look at the touchscreen all the time and get in a wreck. Now, your home away from home is right here. Lazy Boy recliner. This has cool leather. It has a built-in massager and lumbar heat. Now, who doesn't want that on a cold day, huh? Turn that baby on, crank it up, and you are on fire. And do you see what's over here underneath the left armrest? That is a built-in fridge cooler. Now, how much better is that? Gentlemen, this afternoon when you're sitting down at the game, you can just pop that open. Right there's your cool drink. And when it's empty, you can say, dear, empty. Can you come refill it? Or, in honor of you ladies, when you're sitting in that nice massager in the heat, you can say, oh, husband of mine, could you bring me a nice cold drink to put in my nice fridge here? We are bombarded every day with something new. You're aware of this? And where are we at? Some are discontent, and so they buy and buy and buy. Some are discontent, and so they complain, complain, and complain. Leaning on his fence one day, a devout Quaker was watching a new neighbor move in next door. After all kinds of modern appliances, electronic gadgets, plush furniture, and costly wall hangings had been carried in, the onlooker called over and said this, "If you find you're lacking anything, neighbor, let me know, and I'll show you how to live without it." I think the key to the verse is actually a weird twist to this verse. Here's what it says. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We've used this phrase, I will never leave you nor forsake you, not in relation to money at all. We've given that verse to people because when they get scared or fearful, we say, hey, God's never going to leave you nor forsake you, so don't worry. And you may say, why in the world is this in here? I think there's a reason why it's here, and this is why I think it is. When we know that God will never leave us nor forsake us, even when we are down and out financially, materially, even when we feel like we're not keeping up with the Joneses, we know that God is never going to leave us nor forsake us, then we're content. There's nothing about it that bothers us when we know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. I know in preaching this message, there might be a couple of you that are saying, but Pastor Steve, my finances are terrible. My finances are in the pit. My finances are way low. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so you can be content, so you can be in a place where you're not free, or that you are free from the love of money. Some of us don't like this discussion because we don't think it matters, but it does. When you put your gift in the offering plate, is God pleased? How about when you give to somebody in need, maybe to a worthy organization? According to Social Security records, 85 out of 100 Americans have less than $250 when they reach the age of 65. Keep your life free from the love of money. You need to ask yourself, am I free from the love of money? Am I content, or do I try to keep up with others? If you answer in a way that identifies you being discontented, confess of that and ask for the Lord to help you with this. Sometimes when you start talking about money as a pastor, people are like, hey. But I view money as something in the heart, actually. And I believe this scripture tells us, you can love money, but that's going to be fleeting. When you're content, you don't need to love money because you know what's at the end of the verse. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Everything is owned by God. As you go home today, you think about, well, is everything owned by God? And if it is, then is it okay to give him back 10%? Yeah, it's okay. Actually, I think it's biblical. I can't do that, Pastor Steve. I believe that you can, and I believe that when you start giving to a local church, I think when you give to God, I think that your blessings will just come. There are several of you that have stories that I could just say, come up here and tell your story, and you'd be able to tell the story of how when you started giving, God did neat and wonderful things. How did that car keep running? That car shouldn't have kept running. There's no way. How are your kids healthy? How are there so many blessings in your life that come because you say yes to God? Develop a budget, and you need to stick to it. There actually is a financial class we're going to be having from 6 to 9 weeks or so, starting January 7th. And if you want to find yourself in that, you just really have a difficult time, or you just want to learn more, then you can be a part of that class here in January. I encourage you. Are you free from the love of money? Are you in debt so far that you're like, wow, God has come and he says, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Don't love money. Be content with what you have. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, we bow our heads and we open our hearts to you. Thank you for each person that's here today. We all remember back to when we were young kids and we were given some money, and some of us stored it away and others of us couldn't hold on to it for very long. Now we're older and we still have money. Some of us are still dealing with money issues even right now, and there might be a couple of people that are here today that are just overwhelmed because they want to give to you, but they're not sure how. I pray that you would help them in their hearts and their minds to determine that they can, and that you would enable them to do that. That you would open their eyes to the great blessings that they have. I pray that you would remind somebody that's in the room today that they can be content with what they have. They've been looking over across the fence or down the office way or wherever it might be at maybe someone else or maybe something else, someone else's things. And help them to be content right where they're at. And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray over each person here that they would be content with what they have. May they know that you're never going to leave them nor forsake them. And because of that, they can be content. Lord Jesus, you have blessed some great financially within this room. You really have. Help them to be content. There's some individuals in this room that don't have much, hardly at all. Help them to be content. Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would be ones that would be giving, that we would be content, and that we would not love money because we know the traps of that. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that each person as they leave from this sanctuary today, that they would just know that you will never leave them nor forsake them, and that there would just be a great peace across this sanctuary right now for each person, knowing that you have not forsaken them and that you will continue to hold them up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us. May you be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may we follow after you. We love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.